Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, hey, happy Tuesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant with me, Sean Mapes behind the glass, and Noah is our producer out in the field as we are live at the Wildcat Golf Club. And while Paul may be from New England, I'm an Indiana girl through and through, so I am super excited about our next guest. He coached with the Colts, Saints, Rams, Northwestern, and is now the Colts radio analyst, Rick Venturi. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Vanessa. How you doing? We've got an unusual day here in your old hometown of Terre Haute. We got Houston-like weather. We're almost at 100 today.
That's so weird. That takes me back to Colts training camp when I would mist water on my face because it was so hot.
We tried to play meteorologist earlier today, Rick, and there's like a high pressure system and Saharan dust, and that's as far as I could go. So I'm sorry it's brutal up there, too.
It is. Rick, we, of course, appreciate you joining the show, somebody with a lot of coaching experience. And I start with a question that does involve the Texans and somebody that you probably know from coaching circles in Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith has a tough situation ahead of him here in Houston. And you know a thing or two about tough situations, a lot of interim head coaching gigs. You coached at Northwestern. What is something you tell somebody like Lovie Smith that is entering a tough situation with an NFL team?
Yeah, you're right, Vanessa. I go back with Lovie all the way to when he was a assistant coach at Ohio State, if you can believe that, on his way up, inevitably to be a head coach three different times, and to really have a success rate wherever he's really been. And, I think he's a perfect guy for the Texans right now. He's a very stability guy. He believes in certain things. He's not an up and down. He's not a guy that's on the wire one day and down. I think he'll have the patience, and the team is going to be improved. I mean, the one thing about taking it over at this point is when you're at low ebb in the NFL, there's really only one way to go, and that's up, and they, think are going to get better. I personally was a fan of Mills coming out. I think he has real potential. I really did. He didn't have, a real long career. He didn't have a big background at Stanford, but I really liked him coming out. I think he's a guy you can play with. You're getting Marlon Mack from us. He's 2 years now in recovery from that injury. He was a very good back. He was a 1,000-yard-plus guy for us, and the only reason he was really available is that Jonathan Taylor has become a premier guy. I like Cooks. I like your offensive line. When you do finally get Mechie, you're going to have a playmaker. And Lovie will continue to build the defense. He'll build it piece by piece. And I think that both the Texans and the Jags will be, very improved this year, but they do have a long way to go. And thankfully, I think the Colts have had a terrific offseason after tremendous historic meltdown in those last 2 weeks in January, just depressing as all get out. But they have rebounded, and I doubt that anyone, and I'm not a company man, you'll get to know that.
I know that about you. You very much, you are honest as they can be.
Yeah, and I think that they have really, I can't imagine that anyone in the National Football League has had a better 3 months since that meltdown than the Colts have.
Well, that's good for Indianapolis, I would imagine, at this point in time, especially considering you're once again walking into a situation where, hey, it's another older quarterback. Let's see what this guy can bring to the table. But, bringing it back to Houston and the young quarterback, and you mentioned Davis Mills, and you mentioned you like what you saw out of him. Honestly, I think we're all kind of in the same boat in terms of expectations for him. There's cautious optimism, but really there wasn't a whole lot last year to make us believe one way or another, hey, this guy can be the kind of quarterback that you have leading your team for 10 years. I guess I would ask, though, as someone who's very familiar with the Colts situation, and clearly they've had a lot of success with young quarterbacks when they brought him in, whether it was Peyton Manning or it was Andrew Luck, what's the biggest key in an organization that has been such a mess over the last couple of years as far as paving the way for a smooth first full season as a starter for Davis Mills?
Well, you know, I do think he will have the advantage of, you know, having, you know, a partial year of starting last year under his belt. So, you know, he understands, I think, the speed of the game, you know, going in now as the full-time guy. You know, the biggest thing that you have to do, Paul, is you have to build around him. You know, you have to have a defense that isn't always, you know, gonna be porous, and you're always gonna play from behind. If you're a quarterback in the National Football League and you're playing from behind all the time, it's gonna catch up with you. They're gonna find rush matchups. They're gonna find out different things. They can turn it loose. The game becomes one dimensional. You know, and a lot of bad things happen to you. The important thing is to keep them competitive early in game so that he is in what I call the unknown situations on the defense, so they just can't tee up and get him. You know, I like Brandon Cooks a lot. He's been very tough against the Colts. I think Mack gives you a real thrusting type running back in there. I think your young tight end is pretty good. Again, I think it'll be really important to get Metchie. I don't know where he is on that injury, but they need game breakers. They need guys that they can throw a short pass to and a guy that can break it. I think their offensive line is decent. I really do. And so, I mean, I think there are some pieces there. I think the biggest thing is you got to play to within his skill set, number one, when you're coaching a young quarterback, even if it means simplifying sometimes. And I think the important thing is to play competitive early in games, not get behind when you get in those known situations for the defense where they can just tee off and come.
Rick Venturi joining us on Vanessa and Gallant. Rick, the AFC South may not be the quote-unquote sexiest division that people are watching in the NFL, but I'm actually legitimately excited for it. I think we're going to see Trevor Lawrence develop under Doug Peterson now that he is a real coach who's mature. I don't necessarily believe in Ryan Tannehill, but the Titans have been good. They still have Derrick Henry. Of course, the Colts have been great and have added a lot of pieces, and then the Texans have this exciting second-year quarterback. What storylines are you looking forward, since you're going to be on the road and you're going to be watching every AFC South matchup? What are you excited for storylines wise?
The first one, of course, is going to be with my homeboys here. I mean, I think this will be a team that can really contend. This was a team that, you know, at one point in that season, you know, was 9-6. And if you would have taken a poll on Christmas night after that win in Arizona, you would have said that, you know, the Colts may be the most dangerous team in the league, you know, with a great running back. Even though the quarterback was erratic, the defense is pretty solid. And so the storyline there now is going to be Matt Ryan. And I did watch minicamp last week, and I see no diminishing in his play. I mean, I know we keep talking about 37, but I'm not sure what that means anymore with a guy that takes care of himself, much like Tom Brady. And to be honest with you, unless you are an option-type quarterback today, which a lot of the young kids are, and they get exposed on the zone reads and the predetermined runs and the scrambles, if you're kind of a classic throwback like a Brady, like a Ryan, I mean, really, you can play a long time because you are really protected in the pocket. In, you know, we know Matt doesn't have that kind of mobility, but I watched the arm strength last week, and I thought it was really, really, I saw no diminishing, and I've watched him since he came in the league in 08. You know, the other storyline is where exactly is Tennessee? I don't think they've made strides, which is good for us, you know, but they were the number one seed in the AFC last year. I mean, you know, like you said, they're not sexy to watch, but they just find ways to win all the time.
Sure.
I think I'm a little bit on the plus side on Tannehill. I think he's a little bit better than people think, and I think he's perfect for what they want to do. He's content to be the play pass guy. You got a great runner and a decent defense. I don't know that they helped themselves, though, by losing A.J. Brown. I know they went out and drafted Burke, but, you know, at best, that's a one-for-one swap, and I don't think it is, because I think A.J. Brown certainly has been a killer. And I do see the Texans and the Jaguars. I think, number one, both teams have made coaching changes, which will have significant positive effects on them. And then I think, number two, they're going to gradually get better. You know, Jacksonville had a really good offseason. You know, and of course, when you have all those draft picks high like that, you should right. have a great offseason. But, you know, when they start with a franchise quarterback who, unfortunately for us, you know, finally showed in that last game what kind of talent he has. So I'm with you. I it's very hard to judge, you know, things from year to year anymore. You know, when I first started way back in the 80s, I mean, you know, teams were constant year after year. But now, you know, with the changes, with free agency trades, you know, the way things go today, you know, things can turn around in a New York second.
Former NFL coach Rick Venturi with us. Rick, my question is big picture AFC. Sometimes you're a little skeptical of a team that maybe you saw your team play firsthand. And I think of all the teams in the NFL, because everyone's picking the Buffalo Bills right now. I think a lot of people from Indianapolis are probably looking at the Bills through maybe a different prism, given that Indy beat them, what, 41-15 in November of last year. Obviously, things changed so quickly in the NFL, and the Bills were playing their best football a couple of weeks later. The Colts, who were playing their best football at the time, things changed a little bit. But I guess, who are you looking at as the best team in the AFC? Do you buy it as Buffalo? Do you think it's Kansas City still with Tyreek Hill gone? Who is your number one in the conference?
Well, you know, I probably would have to go with Bills. You know, I'd have to go with the chalk teams. I'd have to go with the Bills. I do think that the loss of Tyreek Hill, and I know that they bolstered themselves with Valdez-Scantling, and they drafted the kid out of Western Michigan, and Andy will keep the Chiefs, and Mahomes will keep the Chiefs at a very, very high level. But I would have to say that I think they suffer the greatest. You cannot lose a guy that makes the big plays like he does. I mean, he is a playmaker's playmaker, and be exactly the same. I think they struggle on defense. I think they have their moments, but they struggle. I don't consider them complete. I think Buffalo is very complete, and I don't think you should ever discount the Bengals. I think Joey is a tremendous young quarterback, as good as there is in the league. I think the Cincinnati defense, I've said it all year long as I watched them, and I was prophetic when they got in the playoffs. Their defense is underrated. They have a very, very solid defense. So, you know, they're going to be in the hunt. I think those three teams are the chalk. Then I think the interesting teams, and you have so many in the AFC, I think you got to put the Colts there. If Matt Ryan plays like he has at different times in his career, the Colts will be a factor. We know the Chargers are talented. I think, you know, we'll have to see what Russell does at Denver. I like the Raiders a lot. I'm a Carr fan. A lot of people aren't. I am. And I would say that kind of the mystery team, the sleeper team, which I think is on the come, is the Dolphins. Obviously, the quarterback will be the key there. But I think that that's a little bit of a sleeper team. I think they have a better defense than people give them credit. You know, and now adding the receiver, you know, they could become very explosive in a second.
All right, last question for you. I read an article by Bob Kravitz in The Athletic. I actually interned for Bob when I was a student at the University of Indianapolis, and there's an interesting tidbit that you coached with Bill Belichick and Nick Saban at the Browns, but that you also had some interns, Scott Pioli, Mike Tannenbaum, Jim Schwartz. From your tenure with the Browns, surely you have to have some stories, right? I mean, that's a heck of a group of guys.
Well, I'll be honest with you. It was the best of times and the worst of times. The 94 season when I went there was maybe the best season. You know, we won the wild card game. Bill and Nick basically had their backs to the wall. They had not had a winning season yet. We ended up going 11-5. We beat the Patriots in the wild card and then end up losing to the Steelers. They were our nemesis at that time. But, you know, I'm just very proud to say that I worked in between Bill Belichick and Nick Saban on 17 weeks of game plans, the three of them.
Right.
I mean, who can say that? I wish I'd have taped all of it, to be honest with you. You know, probably the best coach in NFL history and the best coach in the collegiate game. And You know, they were all guys then. I always kid them. They weren't icons then back in 1994. And then 95 was the year that's been chronicled by ESPN in the 30 for 30 those guys you're talking about. They were all interns. We had two head coaches and four general managers, six guys that were interns on that 95 season that turned into a disaster. That's why I say best and worst. The 95 season was the season of the move to Baltimore, which happened in the middle of the season, and it was disastrous. It was I can't even tell you how bad that was.
Were you stunned when you found out about it? Like, your reaction?
Yeah, they announced it like on Thursday, and at the time, people forget this. We were leading the division after after that turnaround. We were leading the Steelers by a game, and we just collapsed. I mean, it took everything out of us. We lost eight straight. We salvaged the last game of the season. And that 95 year has been chronicled in that 30 for 30, which is very an interesting show. And it certainly points the finger at the good young talent. Belichick he knew talent. He knew how to hire it and develop it.
Well, thank you so much for joining our show, Rick Ventura. You made my little Indiana heart very, very happy. If you hop on the Colts YouTube page, he has some fascinating draft breakdowns. Rick Ventura, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you much, guys. I really appreciate it. Anytime.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a little Texans minicamp chatter. That's next.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Big thanks to Rick Venturi for listening or joining us in the last segment. He was awesome. Super, super cool. Yeah, very experienced in the NFL. Speaking of the NFL, mandatory minicamp starting for the Texans today. Laremy Tunsil, yes, in attendance.
Good. Because you need to have this offensive line getting some iteration of cohesion going into the regular season. And while I think we should all agree that minicamp, OTAs, there's not necessarily that much done, but I want to have the linchpin of the Texans offensive line that's supposed to be protecting Davis Mills, that's supposed to be paving the way for whoever ends up being the best running back on the team this year. I want them all to be together for as long as possible because there is a generally very steep learning curve for young offensive linemen in this league. And, you know, you bring in Kenyon Green onto the interior. How is he going to handle things? I just want everyone that's supposed to be there around him so that he's as up to speed as he possibly can be going into the year. And, of course, you know, you got Justin Britt banged up right now, too, at center. And, you know, it's not quite as, I guess, cohesive now as you'd like it to be. Again, not the end of the world, but I'm just glad he's here because it has been a very strange last couple of months for Laremy Tunsil. I thought he wanted to be gone. That injury that seemed like it would be a four-week recovery time took an entire season to recover from, but then he decides he wants to stick around here. What's Tunsil's, I guess, goals here?
When you have a guy like Laremy Tunsil, who's a veteran, and he's making that much money, he should be at mandatory minicamp. He should be trying to get the line cohesive. He should be making that effort. I'm not saying he needs to quote-unquote mentor. We're not going to do the whole Ryan Tannehill discussion again. But he should be there.
And I think it's a little different, too, with offensive linemen. I mean, guys who have been in the trenches for a long time in this league, they know how this thing is supposed to work, whether you're on the defensive line or the offensive line. And I think to have somebody to be able to pick the brain up is great. And again, I don't know how much Kenyon Green would be talking to Laremy Tunsil or something like that. I know that I would be talking to Laremy Tunsil more about, like, how do I get that bong? As opposed to maybe asking him for, like, insight into how to be a better offensive lineman. But I do think that it's good to see him out there, and I'm hoping that this is the last that we're going to be talking about. Like, does Laremy Tunsil really want to be here?
Right, because it didn't seem like he was going to come back. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network gave us an update on some of the guys that were questioned on whether or not they would come to minicamp, a la Lamar, Kyle, etc.
Omar, our last roll call before everyone goes away for the summer. We'll start with the quarterback. That's all anybody wants to talk about, which is fine. Let's do that. Lamar Jackson, who, of course, has not been, very famously, not been at OTAs for the Baltimore Ravens, been working on his throwing kind of away from the team. He did show up today for his physical, did show up at the doctor's office, is expected to be at mandatory minicamp tomorrow for the Baltimore Ravens. No surprise, this is has been his plan. This is what he said for the last several weeks. Now he is there when it is mandatory. Similar situation for Kyler Murray. Remember, he sat out some of the OTAs earlier in the offseason, then showed up and started working on chemistry with some of the new pieces of his offense. Not a surprise, he was there for the team's media day on Monday and is expected at mandatory minicamp for the Cardinals this week. Now, here's an interesting one. Terry McLaurin, the star receiver for the Washington Commanders, one of several young receivers looking for a big-time new contract like, oh, I don't know, about 10 other receivers this offseason, is not expected to be at mandatory minicamp. He is subject to nearly $100,000 in fines, but McLaurin, who showed up for a couple OTAs early, then has been away, went back to Florida to train, absent some sort of dramatic turn in his contract situation, he is not going to be there.
So he joins DK Metcalf on that front. And, I mean, I get why these wide receivers are doing it, but I feel like if they haven't forced their way out by now and they haven't gotten that new contract by now, it's not going to come. Where with Tennessee, who just punted with A.J. Brown, they were like, yeah, we're not going to give you that, so we're just going to trade you elsewhere, and then have A.J. Brown say, I'm the best receiver in your franchise's history, which is honestly not the craziest argument in the world. But it is surprising, Vanessa, to see that Lamar Jackson's out there, I think, because it did seem like things were between the Ravens and Lamar in a place that were kind of undefinable because of the way that Lamar Jackson's contract negotiations are going. It's not an agent that they're negotiating with. They're negotiating with someone that doesn't have relationships with other NFL teams and with other NFL players. They're negotiating with his mom, who is going to,
that
of
is
course,
very
be
true.
Team
his
Lamar
mother
Jackson.
Is his agent. And she, you know, mamas push hard.
Yes.
So she may not be the one. The other thing that is funny with the Lamar Jackson thing situation that you have to look out for is reporters that say, I'm told by both sides, blah, blah, blah. What, is Lamar's mom talking to you? Because
yeah.
Unless Lamar's mother is talking to you, you have not spoken to both sides.
I want to know how Lamar Jackson's mom talks about him, and I hope it's like most moms talk about their kids. Listen, my son is the greatest. My son is the best of all time. And also, she has the MVP to work with. So there is a little bit that she's got in her holster, I suppose, as far as negotiations go.
Can you imagine, like, let's say he goes his entire career without an agent and manages to do really well. How much money will he have saved by having his mom rep him? Millions,
He'll have saved a lot.
Millions.
I mean, if he could do that, great. But is he going to get, I guess, the full value that he wants for his contract? I'm really curious as to whatever long-term contract he eventually signs with Baltimore. I'm very curious as to what it's going to look like.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, recapping Astros and the NBA, Paul gives you his list of things that would be nice. That's next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Golden State Warriors are one win away from getting back on that championship throne. Boston's going to have another one of those vaunted comebacks. We've seen so much from them throughout these playoffs.
Warriors win 104-94 last night, despite Steph Curry going 0-for-9 from the three-point line. Our resident Boston Celtics fan, Paul Gallant.
I love hearing that again. It's great. Thanks, Mike. Bang! Bang! He didn't even say one bang last night because Steph Curry was bricking shots left and right. But the Celtics couldn't hit a damn shot. They couldn't hit a free throw. They couldn't dribble. They couldn't do anything. Just absolutely nothing of value. They lose on a night where Steph Curry did nothing. And the series is over. It's done. It's over. Just go home. Don't even play game six.
Warriors just need one more win. It will have to come at the Garden. It will have to come at the Garden. Andrew Wiggins was great last night.
Yeah. How is he good? And Jason Tatum is not ascending to being one of the best players in basketball. I don't know. I can't say. How is Andrew Wiggins good? And Jaylen Brown is about as good at dribbling as me.
26
I don't know.
Points,
I can't say.
13 rebounds for Andrew Wiggins. And that's the thing, if I'm a Celtics fan like you, that would frustrate me, is that the Warriors always seem to be able to get it done, even when Steph Curry has an off night. They have guys like Klay Thompson, who, like you said earlier, had a quiet night, but he still had 21 points, 5 3-pointers. And they're able to string together a win in a big game five.
It would be one thing if, hey, Klay Thompson's picking up the rest of the load, or Draymond Green's picking up the rest of the load. But, you know, for this Boston team, I think a lot has been made about their lack of finals experience. But, I mean, for the most part, this team has had a ton of playoff experience over the last half decade. They have been pretty deep in the playoffs many times, and maybe they were ahead of themselves in a couple of those seasons where, say, they made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. But you look at them, they should not be wilting the way that they are. You would think that some of these other guys on Golden State, whether it be Looney, who had some big plays, or it's Wiggins, as you outlined, you would think that these would be the guys who would be perhaps struggling, especially on a night where Steph Curry was just bad from outside. And it's not to say Steph had no impact on the game. Steph is still very good when he drives through the lane, despite being a 6'1", undersized guy. Like, if he gets into the mid-range and all the way up to the basket, I assume every single shot that he takes, it is going to go through the hoop. So you would think that those guys wouldn't play well. You would think that the Boston guys would have that kind of edge. And yet, I mean, it was just so sloppy. And the worst part about it, Vanessa, and this reminds me of those 2018 Rockets teams that I never could really fully buy into, whining, complaining. Oh, man, the world's out to get us. There's a technical foul. Oh, well, I don't know. You had 10 missed bleeping free throws.
At least you're not a Celtics fan that's making up excuses.
No, I hate the people that make up the excuses that the refs were out to get us. You guys are losers. It's loser energy. And that's what Rockets fans were doing in that. Saying, oh, the refs were out to get us. Let's put together a PowerPoint presentation and send it over to the league after the fact. Hey, you got to review this, and we dispute the results of this series. It's just loser energy, you know?
Things that would be nice. By Paul Gallant.
Well, there's a lot of things that would be nice. It would be nice to, again, hit free throws, because they're free throws. They're free. Like, it's an uncontested shot.
Even making Golden free throws, check.
Yes.
Things that would be nice.
You know what would be nice? Dribbling the basketball. Just dribbling it successfully. Not dribbling it off of your foot. Not dribbling it into the hands of a Golden State Warriors defender. What else would be nice? Oh, there's lots of things that would be nice. How about a mute button for Mark Jackson?
Not a fan, huh?
Mark Jackson is terrible. He is never providing any insight over the course of a basketball broadcast. Hey, what's the most obvious thing I can say?
They got to work on the fundamentals the rest of this game. Mama, there goes that man.
Like, he said, he has these two terrible, corny one-liners. My favorite part of the entire broadcast was when Jeff Van Gundy said to him, yeah, you played on dirty teams with the Indiana Pacers. And then Mark got so offended by it. And I was like, that's the only part of this broadcast that I've enjoyed, was Mark Jackson getting indignant. Because he called some rando who I've never heard of in my life, a guy who had also fouled out, I think it was Ed Davis or something, some guy who had fouled out of the NBA Finals 3 times in one series. He's like, yeah, and the great Gabe Davis or something. I was like, what? That guy's not a great player? And then Jeff Van Gundy called him out for being on dirty
JVG
teams.
JVG was fed up with him.
Yes.
I will say that. It did seem like
because
on
everyone
that broadcast
is. He's
that he was fed up with
replace
Mark
him
Jackson.
With Doris Burke, please, for the love of God. Because when I'm driving in my car and I hear the NBA final call, Doris Burke actually teaches me things about basketball. Mark Jackson is nothing. He is the reason that the Golden State Warriors couldn't make it to the finals ahead of the time when they added in Steve Kerr. Like, think about this. That team was exactly the same. They just subtracted Mark Jackson and put in Steve Kerr and became a basketball dynasty. And yet here we are having to listen to Mark Jackson say,
the man who couldn't get it done.
Who takes himself so seriously, and he's so sanctimonious. Oh, so yeah, I'm taking out all my frustrations, since there's nothing I can say about the Celtics that's going to make me feel any better. Less Mark Jackson, please.
Turnovers for the Celtics.
Yes, they happened.
The 18 turnovers for the Celtics, 5 were by Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. Don't do that, Jalen.
Wow, Coach Foglon over here.
Yeah, I'm the new Mark Jackson.
He is the new Mark Jackson.
He's got to stop
fundamentals
with the turnovers, Vanessa.
Where can the Astros improve, and when will they? The Astros dropping another frustrating game to a team lesser than them, 5-3 last night to the Rangers. They were ahead until this moment.
1-2 to Miller, and he bounces it to the open left side. It's through, base hit. Duran scores, and the Rangers have their first lead of the night. What an inning.
You had concerns about this offense early on.
It's the offense that, I mean, look, the bullpen's pitched great this year. You're going to have nights where the bullpen doesn't hold up its end of the bargain. It is kind of amusing in a bleeped up kind of, if you believe in Jinx's way, that as soon as they put up on the broadcast, the Astros bullpen's like the best in baseball since, I think, May 1st, that they, of course, blew this lead. But you can't expect the starting pitching to deliver and the bullpen to deliver every single game. Your lineup should be your strength. And yet, if you take a look at the lineup, you have Alex Bregman, who is not slugging anywhere close to what he used to. You have Yuli Gurriel looking like a totally different player than he was last year, where he was the batting champion, where he was a gold glover. Just a totally different player. And you've got other guys in the lineup that aren't doing anything for you. I mean, sitting on a 3-run lead, that's not that safe of a place to be. And if you have this lineup, you should be scoring more than that. And I know, we're all looking at the bullpen last night. The bullpen, I think, is probably a little bit worse than the statistics would indicate. But can I dump on the bullpen, honestly, when the offense scores a couple of runs in the first couple of innings, and that's it?
A frustrating series against the Marlins. They were able to escape the sweep, of course. But a lot of chatter, Paul, about Martin Maldonado. Some chatter about Bregman. Will Dusty Baker move him out of the three hole, or will he stick with it?
I saw Chandler Rome getting mad at some person who was like suggesting they like bench Martin Maldonado for Jason Castro. I mean, we're arguing about two guys that aren't really going to give you a whole lot of pop. You can tell me all you want about how Martin Maldonado adds defense and he made that great play. You can tell me about how the guy is fantastic in terms of his relationships with all these pitchers and he knows what they need. And like, oh, he's this defensive ace. He can't hit. And you got a bunch of bats right now that are in this lineup that just are not anywhere close to the standard that they need to be. And if, you know, you look at the whole thing in totality, whether it's a lineup change or it's a trade, something's got to happen soon. I'm not suggesting that this is going to perhaps cost you a playoff spot. Like, you feel pretty damn good about your chances to win the AL West already, and we're not even midway through June. But at the same time, I mean, don't you want to have home field in a potential series against the Yankees? I guess maybe at this point you're looking at New York and you're saying, oh, they're off to this historic start. We're not going to be able to catch them. But I don't know. There's a part of me that just wonders about that matchup, and I've always felt confident about it going into it. But New York is playing really well this year, and we're going to see just how much this Astros team has been ready for the Yankees in a couple of weeks. And honestly, I want to fast forward to that game.
I think that that's going to be a telltale sign of how they may fare in the playoffs. The playoffs, of course, is when all of your issues are revealed. You have more of an injured roster. You have guys that are worn down. We're still waiting to hear on Jake Odorizzi and that ankle injury, and we certainly haven't gotten an update on Lance McCullers Jr. We know that he was able to, McCullers Jr. was able to throw 25 pitches. So hopefully those two guys can heal soon. Odorizzi gives them a little bit more depth, and of course Lance McCullers Jr. does as well. That kind of goes without saying. All right, coming up, this NBA player hasn't shot a basketball since April. Do you like that? Do you care? Or do you think that it's him giving less effort? But first, Paul is going to tell you about Passive Investor Network.
Yes, I am. The Passive Investor Network, passiveinvestor.net. Look, we're all looking to make money, but we don't necessarily know how to do it, especially in this economy. But you know what? Real estate prices go up and up and up and up and up. And if you're looking to invest in real estate, you want to talk to my friends at the Passive Investor Network, passiveinvestor.net. There's a bus tour coming up on this Saturday, and they're going to take you around Houston showing you neighborhoods that they believe will be on the coming up in the near future. And what they do with you is sit down with you and they personalize a 5-year plan for you to make money through real estate. And you're thinking to yourself maybe right now, but I don't have the money to do it. Sit down with them, talk with them. They will give you a plan so that you can make real money personalized for you off of real estate. Again, it's Passive Investor Network, the Passive Investor Network at PassiveInvestor.net. PassiveInvestor.net. Again, promo code ESPN for a free bus tour on Saturday.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from Wildcat Golf Club for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are live at the Wildcat Golf Club, the occasional invitational happening with a lot of our lovely listeners today out going out in foursomes. And having some fun on the golf course.
Some fun on the golf course, indeed. Yeah, it's a nice day. And I am very, very full, thanks to our friends at Mendocino Farms.
Yeah, very good.
Over.
Very good.
This is a nice little golf course.
It is.
I like it. I like the golf club, especially. Look at this bar.
Off days are important. Having fun is important. And apparently Anthony Davis really likes his off days. On the Nuke Squad YouTube gaming channel, Anthony Davis caused quite the stir.
It's
the
so
Lakers, I know. The Lakers superstar said that he has not shot a basketball since April 5th. Are you okay with this, or is this too much for somebody that's supposedly supposed to be competitive and wanting to win a championship?
It's bad luck. It's a very bad luck. I mean, Anthony Davis played very poorly when he was healthy this past season, and I get it. There's been injuries over the last couple of years, but I mean, if you're LeBron and you're looking at this, you're definitely thinking to yourself, how the hell do I get out of here? And how many more highly paid superstars are we going to have in this league who, like, just don't give a damn? It really feels like there are so many. Let's just list James Harden off the top of your head.
Right.
Ben Simmons. Are we throwing Anthony Davis in this conversation, too? I mean, shoot. Look, I get it, taking some time off from work when the offseason begins. But not shooting since April 5th? What? That's been 2 months.
If you say that you haven't shot a basketball in 2 weeks because you were at your daughter's basketball tournament and then you went on a vacation and you just felt like you needed a rest. Okay.
2 weeks
two
is
months.
Even a long time.
Well, 2 weeks is a long time, but I'm saying that if you're older or whatever in the league, you could justify getting that rest, whatever. Spending time with the family, et cetera, et cetera. 2 months? That is just not caring. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the guys like Kyler Murray, like James Harden. Mm. They're in every sport. Where you just don't know if they even like that sport that much anymore. Laremy Tunsil is very much that for me on the Texans. Does he really like football?
Should you be mad at someone for not liking football, though? I mean, it's frustrating to us because we sit there and we're like, I would love to have this job. But
I think if you make that much money, you're obligated to work hard.
I feel the same as you, but at the same time, I totally understand how if you're in this job, you might not like it that much. I think that passion varies from person to person. Not me defending Anthony Davis in any way, but you hear this, a guy who has not shot a basketball in 2 months, and to me, that sounds like someone who's like debating retiring or taking a year off himself. I think a lot of people make a lot of money in jobs that they don't like. You know, it can, the grind of something can get on you. And I mean, Davis has won a title. So, I don't know, maybe he feels like he doesn't really have anything to prove.
All right, it is time for our segment that we call Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, Sean Payton retired from head coaching in the NFL for now, at least. He is set to join the Fox Studio show, I do believe, after taking a couple months to decide what he wanted to do next. But according to Albert Breer of SI.com, Sean could have made a lot more money. The Miami Dolphins, according to Albert Breer and Dave Hyde of the South Florida Sentinel, said that the Dolphins were willing to give him $100 million over 4 years. $100 million over 4 years for Sean Payton to be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. If you're Sean Payton, and not to name drop here, but I did actually have a conversation with him at the Super Bowl about him taking time off or whatever. I do think this is proof that some people want to try something new. If you're turning down that much money and you're over the situation that you're in.
Would you want that kind of money if you could make the same money, if not more, as a broadcaster?
And work 17 weeks a year?
Yeah.
No, sorry, 17 Sundays a year.
Yeah, not even a week.
Like 17 days a year.
The
total amount
of money that the broadcasters are getting paid, and I get it because you're trying to make them want to actually be broadcasters and lure them away. What they are making monetarily makes me wonder if we will ever see a head coach take a contract like that. That is a hell of a deal, though. I mean, for 5 years of your time, $100 million?
Breaking news, Deshaun Watson is addressing the media right now for the first time since March 25th.
Wow. Is he going to say, I never disrespected or hurt any women ever in
According
my life?
According to Twitter and some reporters, Deshaun Watson confirms he met with the NFL for hours. He answered every question truthfully, he says. Quote, they have to make a decision that's best for the league. And he says that he answered every question the NFL asked him during their investigation.
Well, that's nifty. Wow. I can't believe it took him this long to actually speak.
It's been since March 25th.
Where he gave that press conference and just said the same three things over and over again.
According to Space City Weather, you put this on the rundown, so I'm guessing you're dreading it. It is straight up going to be hot.
Yeah, it is. Something that is affected by what I've heard, Vanessa, to be the Saharan dust from the Saharan Desert.
Yeah, please tell us about this.
Well, it's from the Saharan Desert, and somehow it's traveled across the ocean. And, yeah, it's like hovering over us, so it's making things exceptionally hazy on top of being hot as hell. And then when you factor in, Vanessa, a high-pressure situation that's to our north, it means all the weather's just going to linger here and recycle, and it's going to go around in a circle, and it's going to continue to be absolutely miserable. So that's not fun.
We're at the point in Houston weather this morning at Texans minicamp where I was like, you know what, it's hot, but at least there's a cloud right now. I said as I was
Ooh,
still sweating.
A breeze. Yeah, that's how it goes. Here's something for our garbage time segment. And a lot of people are wondering about right now if Dell and Sonia Curry, the father and mother of Steph
divorced.
Curry, they are right. Well, they are estranged, I guess. Here's what's crazy. They are alleged to be dating the significant others of another relationship.
Divorced couple?
Yes. They are.
Shania Twain did that. Shania Twain's fun fact. Husband had an affair, and then she and the other guy got together. It's beautiful. I love it.
So this is, I mean, I don't know if this is a swap, but many are speculating about if this is like some sort of agreed upon thing, like those television shows that used to be on back in the day. I remember there was a Chappelle show skit about it. G-Unit, goodbye.
Yeah.
I'm very curious as to what's going on here. We don't know the specifics, but yes, they are each dating Sonia and Del Curry, two halves of also separated relationships.
Could you do that? Could you date somebody like after their partner had just left the both of you? Like, oh, well, your boo left you for someone else, so let's date.
It sounds like the plot to a movie that starred Charlie Kelly from Always Sunny in Philadelphia not too long ago. I feel like it's on one of those streaming apps. It doesn't sound like it's real. I don't think I could, no. I think that would be a very toxic thing to do. Because the only reason you'd be doing it would be to, what, like, get back at them? Or keep an eye on them or something like that? So I wonder, as far as this entire thing goes, which side is being petty? Which side is actually being spiteful? If that is, unless this is just a... You know, a ho-hum swapperoo, which it's 2022, anything can happen.
I was going to say, I know of some people that are in thruples. Have you ever heard of a thruple?
No, what the hell is that?
It's like it's like three people in a relationship. So instead of a couple, it's a thruple.
Oh, wow. So
I just think at that point you shouldn't date. That's my hot take.
So I would imagine in a thruple that one person is enjoying it and the other two are not. Because they're competing for affection.
I think that anytime there are three people in a group dynamic that it's going to get messy. My mom used to not let us have play dates with more than one other kid because if there were three kids, there's always a dynamic of two going off in one corner.
Oh, interesting. The movie Savages, starring Blake Lively, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, and Tim Riggins, actor, they are a thruple.
They are a thruple.
They were a thruple in that.
There's a lot of weird stuff today, man. There's thruples. There's furries. There's, I don't know.
You into furries?
A lot of it makes me, no.
Why did furries come up?
I don't know. Leah Remini wants to remind Top Gun fans that Tom Cruise is still a Scientologist.
Yeah.
She has a problem with the fact that so many people are fleeing to the theaters to see Top Gun Maverick. I have not yet. I watched the original one the other day. It was very corny. It was okay, though. It was the 80s. An aggressive amount of tongue kissing and take my breath away
take
in the
my
love
breath
scene.
Away.
It's a lot. But yeah, she says people need to remember that he is still a Scientologist.
And he's like the front man for
and
Scientology.
And he knows exactly what goes on in Scientology. She says, quote, don't let the movie star charm fool you.
And it's not just talking about what they believe, which is crazy. It's more talking about the things that they do to their own members, especially any who would dare to potentially walk out. Like, it is a cult, the way that they carry themselves. And you know what's really crazy, Vanessa? So, you know, I went to high school in St. Petersburg, Florida. Did you know that the base, one of the main bases of Scientology operations is in Clearwater, Florida, which is just north.
So did you go to school with some Scientology
no,
kids?
No, I didn't. But one time I drove through downtown Clearwater and I saw a bunch of people like walking around. And I was like, why is the Navy here? Because they all had these like uniforms on. And then I found out. Yeah. So I guess Scientology has a base in Clearwater, Florida. It was so weird seeing all these people just walking around downtown. And it's a shame because Clearwater Beach is probably the best beach in the country. But my God, those
Somebody
people.
Somebody said Will Smith is a Scientologist.
I've heard that too. I can't confirm,
It just sounds like a bunch of rich people that like drink each other's bloods and go to expensive
churches.
Oh, that's
skull and bones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's been another edition of Vanessa and Gallant. We are at the Occasional Invitational at the beautiful Wildcat Golf Club. Up next, you have the Killer Bees, Jeremy Branham, and Joel Blank coming at you. Thanks for listening, guys.
Peace.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.